The scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew in the 4th chapter. The passage that I'll be reading to you this morning follows after Jesus has been baptized, a story we heard about a couple of weeks ago. And following immediately after his baptism, according to Luke's Gospel, Jesus faces the temptations. Will you join with me in prayer? Send, O Lord, your Spirit upon us all, and silence in us any voice but your own, that in hearing your word we may become your glad and faithful people, for we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hear the word of God. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights. And afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But Jesus answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took Jesus to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor, and said to Jesus, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil left Jesus. And suddenly angels came and waited on him. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. To pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I'm back. It's been a while since I stopped by for a visit. Don't really usually feel comfortable in a church setting, but it's not just my kind of place. It just isn't. But every now and then, I feel the need to check out the competition, see what they're up to. Okay, some of you may be wondering who I am, so allow me to introduce myself. Lucifer's the name and evil's the game. What? You expected some guy in a red suit and a pitchfork and like that funky little dude you see on the cans of deviled ham? I mean, come on. Could you take me seriously if I looked like a Halloween character? Well, I'm much too subtle for that. Say, do you like the scarf? I made it myself. The accessories do make the demon, after all. Something I've been wanting to tell you. I like it when you name things after me. Like deviled eggs. Deviled ham. My personal favorite, devil's food cake. And I like it when you say things like, "That kid is a little devil." Or, "What the devil do you think you're doing?" Or, "You've got a little devil in you." free publicity for moi. And I like anything I can get the easy way. So maybe you don't even believe in me, or maybe you're one of those people that gives me more power than I deserve, but either way, I win. If you don't believe in me, then I get away with doing all sorts of things and never get blamed. And if you give me too much power, well, then I get credit for doing things I never would have dreamed of. Heads, I win. Tails, you lose. Well, as long as I'm here, I might as well tell you a little bit about myself, because there isn't really that much about me in the Bible, in case you haven't noticed. So most of what you know about me, it's just stuff folks have made up to try and explain things they don't understand. First of all, let's get one thing straight. I'm not some mutant angel forced to live apart from God against my will. I chose to be this way, okay? I like who I am. Don't go feeling sorry when you hear that story about me falling from the sky. Please, I don't need your pity. Now, I hear folks arguing all the time about why did God make evil? Give me a break. God didn't create evil. God gives us the capacity to choose between right and wrong. Those two saps, Adam and Eve, well, they chose to eat that fruit. They chose to ignore God's commandments. Nobody twisted their arm, not even that wily serpent. One of my friends, by the way. The problem with Adam and Eve is they felt guilty afterwards. Me? I never feel guilty. I had the choice, just like you, to follow God or not. I chose not. You have a choice, too. Don't forget that. Well, there are some advantages to being on my side. You never have to feel guilty about the sins and the silly things you do. You never have to consider anybody else's feelings. Do whatever you want. Do whatever you feel like doing. No regard for how anybody else is going to feel or what it's going to do to them. It sounds pretty good, doesn't it? You don't have to worry about anything. I just love it when you blame God for the problems in your life, as if God is trying to teach you a lesson by causing terrible tragedies to happen. I mean, really? That's such a great image. God is the big daddy in the sky just waiting to haul you out behind the woodshed and beat you with a rubber hose just to shape you up a little bit. I mean, really? Really? Do you want to believe in a God who does that? Then there's the way you do terrible things and point your finger at God. That's another good one. You know, if you look at history, you can see all kinds of the worst atrocities being committed in the name of you-know-who. The Crusades are a good example. All those good Christians slaughtering people left and right and claiming that they did it all for the good of the cause. You know, it's not that different in this day and age. All the religious groups claiming to be the only ones who know the truth. Everyone clamoring and elbowing, trying to be God's favorite. All the backbiting and narrow minds. I love it. I love it. And I love it when you blame me for your problems. The devil made me do it, and all that stuff, you know. It relieves you of all responsibility, gives me all the power. Once I have you believing that you're helpless,
Then I've got you. You can sit back and blame me for all the ills of the world, and you don't have to do anything to try to make a difference. Think how much effort this saves you. And once again, I get a lot of free publicity. Well, my biggest ally is this. Apathy. That's right, apathy. Not caring, giving up, refusing to get involved. When you're watching TV and you see the pictures of those starving kids on the other side of the world, just change the channel. Pretend you didn't see it. When the church hits you up for money again for some good cause, like peacemaking or, relief, hurricane relief, just pass the plate. Who's going to know? When your next-door neighbor's wife dies, just act like nothing happened. You'll get over it. You know, if you pretend you don't care often enough, before you know it, you really won't. Chalk one up for old Scratch. Another thing that really lights my fire, fear. Fear of people who are different than you. Fear that you're not good enough for God. Fear that you're going to fail, so why even try? Fear of reaching out beyond yourself. Fear is great. I can do a lot with fear. This brings me to that guy Jesus. You know, he wasn't afraid of me. Even that time back in the wilderness when he was half-starved and full eager. I couldn't get to first base with him. I gave it my best shot. Turn these stones to bread, I challenged him. But do you think he bit? Well, not Jesus, little Mr. Goody Two Sandals. Throw yourself from the temple and let the angels come to your rescue. I thought that would get him, but all he did was quote scripture at me. Well, even I can do that. So then I pulled out all the stops. You can have all the kingdoms of the world if you'll just fall down and worship me. You know what he said? Away with you, Satan. Away with you, Satan. Like I was some kind of a pesky little fly that he could just shoo, shoo, shoo away. Well, I left. But I didn't go far. It wasn't the last he saw of me. I've gotten my revenge. Just look around the world and you'll see it for yourself. We've come a long way from the day when God looked at the world and said, "That's good. That's good." Funny thing. God still looks at this mess of a planet and loves it. Okay, you won't find me running around in red tights, but I'm right here. You see me every day, you just don't recognize me. I come in all shapes and sizes, and I go by a lot of different names. I look like the hollow eyes of a starving child. I look like the homeless man sitting on a heating grate. You'll see me if you just look around. The drug dealer in the high school bathroom. I could go on and on. My name is hunger, homelessness, helplessness, hopelessness, heroin, hatred, violence, war, gluttony, greed, selfishness. You get the picture. And don't forget, apathy. Oh, hey, I'm giving away all my secrets here. You know, I got to keep a little bit of mystery. Well, I won't be any fun anymore. I've spent all these centuries creating a certain mystique. I'm not about to reveal everything there is to know about me. Not yet. Anyway, thanks for having me here today. I'm having a great time. But I have work to do, places to go, and people to be. I'll see you around.
And even though we've made a mess of things, you love us still. Lord, help us not to be fearful. Fearful of reaching out, or fearful of doing the right thing, or fearful of following you. Don't let us give up too soon or too easily, because there's a whole wide world out there that needs the good news. Give us, O Lord, of your joy and of your grace, that we might be known as followers of the living God through Jesus Christ, who is our Savior. These and the prayers of all of our hearts we offer in Christ's name, and let all God's people say, Amen. Amen.